Amen. Go see Aunt Beth. Tonight's message is going to be an abridged version because we have a board meeting tonight. And it was kind of interesting the way I was led to it because it kind of ties in together messages that have been spoken lately and hopefully will give us a final said and done blessing to the Lord and be finished. But I'm just pretty much going to read what was written, not by me, but what was written. Actually, here, give me that. In my study Bible is where this come out of. A Bible that I have at home that I use for strictly for studying. The message is titled Children to Maturity. And actually, the section in the Bible that where I read this, the commentary actually reads Bringing God's Children to Maturity. And it's something that we've talked about. It's been on my heart for a couple weeks, a couple months, actually, and how it's time for us to turn to the Lord and grow up, understand what He requires of us, and make a commitment to God. So this paragraph or so, because I pulled out the scriptures that went along with it, but the paragraph that was written for this commentary kind of fit with all the things that have been going on in the messages lately, and hopefully it'll touch your heart as much as it did mine. But the reading is, the father's objective is to bring his children to maturity. Just as his children, then, we should not be surprised when God disciplines us or corrects us. We are his disciples, apprentices to Jesus, learning to live as he did, which was in complete dependence upon and obedience to the Father. Just as we require our children to grow and to mature and to receive our discipline, God expects the same thing from us. And even as adults, we tend to forget that. But it's important to remember that all of the things that we go through is for a reason. That God's doing this mighty work in us to raise us up so that we may mature. I know. But there's a point to all the things that God does in our lives and in our hearts. And even as adults, you know, we're not used to being corrected. Once you are responsible for your own bills and you've become a mature human being, you tend to lose sight of that discipline. And then we often question what we're going through and why. Well, when you stop and think about it, and you guys know how I believe, that if you're going through something, you need to check your walk with God because he's trying to get your attention. The Lord still disciplines us. You can be 80 years old and still be a child to God if you have not grown in his word. And if you have not matured according to the way God expects you to. Yes, you've matured physically in age. You may have wisdom because you have knowledge and life experiences, but you may still not be walking a close walk with God. So he's going to continue to discipline you until you learn, just as we do with our children. We continue to discipline them until they learn. God does the same thing. God then disciplines us, correcting and changing us to live in his kingdom. If we receive his correction with the right attitude of heart, it will produce the fruit of righteousness in our lives. In the word, Hebrews 12:11 says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." I'm going to read that again. Hebrews 12:11 says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, we should accept God's correction as necessary for our spiritual growth. Without it, we don't grow. We should, in fact, gladly embrace God's discipline, knowing that it is evidence that He is training us as His children. We're shrinking. We're losing them one by one. God is training us as His children. It's hard to welcome discipline, but we know that there's a purpose for it. There's a lesson we're not learning. So until we do learn it effectively, successfully, let's say, we continue to be disciplined. Hebrews 12, 4 through 10 says, "In your struggle against sin, ye have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, 'My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son.' Endure hardships as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate. Not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. To say that it is a mighty work that God is doing in your life is an understatement. For not only has he created you, mapped out your life from beginning to end, he also knows the correction that's needed to get to your attention. He knows where you're going to disobey him and where you are going to obey him. Many times as a parent, we can predict if our kid's going to listen to us or not. Well, think of what we could do if we had the powers that the Lord did. You know, a lot of us can say, watch our child, even our adult children, make decisions and know that they're making a mistake. But we allow them to make them because they have to come. They have to submit. They have to realize on their own the mistakes that they're making. A lot of times, it's like I said on Sunday, you can't force your will on someone else. Even though it would just be easier if people would just listen. But I know even as pastor of this church, I've given many counsel to a lot of people in this room that hasn't been listened to. And it keeps happening. And it frustrates you. It frustrates us as parents when our children don't listen to us. It frustrates me as your pastor when you don't listen to me. But I can't force it on you. You have to be willing to accept it. And that's what the Lord does. That's why sometimes these lessons are hard to learn. That's why sometimes these lessons take a really long time for it to sink in. But to cooperate in this maturing process, we must learn and practice certain disciplines. First, it's important to apply God's word to our lives daily. Hebrews 5, 12, 13, and 14 says, "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who, by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." I purposely pulled these scriptures tonight out of an NIV version in hopes that you would gain more understanding rather than being confused by King James. So if they sound a little different, that's why. Second, we must be willing to turn from laziness and begin to patiently endure, developing and sustaining diligence in our pursuit of Christ-likeness. Hebrews 6:11 and 12 says, "We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what is promised." I'm going to read verse 12 again. This is 6:12. "We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." Third, we need to discard any attitude or practice that hinders our walk with Christ. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 and 3 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Before I get to the final point, I'm just going to read the commentary on this again. "To cooperate in the maturing process, we must learn and practice certain disciplines. First, it is important to apply God's word to our lives daily. Second, we must be willing to turn from laziness and begin to patiently endure, developing and sustaining diligence in our pursuit of Christ-likeness. And third, we need to discard any attitude or practice that hinders our walk with Christ." 1, 2, 3. Finally, the last one is, we should learn to honor, consider, and imitate those God has placed over us to lead us. Scriptures quoted for that is Hebrews 13:7, that says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." That has to do with your leaders in the church. That has to do with the leaders in your home. That you should always strive to imitate their faith. We have many good examples in this ministry of that. I'm not just speaking of myself. But there are others. We all make mistakes. What you do with the mistake is what's important. How you receive the correction for the mistake that you make is important. You have to be willing to listen. You can't just come to the situation, seek guidance and counsel, and close off your ears and your heart and not receive the words that are being given. I know that those that seek counsel with me generally, and this even goes for my daughter, I choose my words carefully. I know that there's things that I can say. I know where the line is. The Holy Spirit shows me how much I can say, what I should say, what I shouldn't say. And a lot of times I stay within those boundaries. There are those times where I get frustrated myself and just blurt. It doesn't happen as often as it used to. I can tell you that much. My approach, my demeanor, everything about my character that used to be is not the same since I've began this ministry, began on this microphone and the Lord led me to lead this, by the Holy Spirit to lead this church, to be the tool used by him. It's difficult sometimes to give the words, because I also wonder a lot of times if I've held back when I shouldn't have, that I've said things that I shouldn't have. But a lot of times how it's received makes a difference. I try to always walk in the ways of the Lord. And keep in mind, God's still doing a mighty work in my life as well. Hopefully we're all on different levels, though. I hope I'm not on the same level as you all are. Although I don't, you know, I mean, I'm not any better than you are, don't get me wrong. It's just that our spiritual walks are all different. For one, I'm a lot older. I'm the oldest out of anybody here. So I have a lot of life experiences that you all don't, and I hope that you never have, to be quite honest. But all of that type of things, when you come to the Lord with all of your baggage and ask God, you know, please change me, some of us have more work that has to be done than others. We have different work, not any work that makes us greater or worse, but just not equal. Does that make sense? Just because we're not equal doesn't mean I'm better than you or you're better than me. It just means, plain and simple, we're not equal in that regard. It doesn't make us any closer to the Lord one over the other. It's just that because of our lives and the way we've lived, how old we are and our experiences, it's different. I had only one child. I can relate in a lot of instances to Amber, but she's had three. So therefore... four, I meant as a single mother, sorry, Aaron. But there's a lot of similarities, but in that instance, we're not equal. It doesn't make me better than her because I only had one and she had three, you know. You see what I'm saying? It's not that it's better or worse, it's just that it's different. God disciplines us all differently, and that's why it's nice to come together as a church and as a congregation and be able to share our life experiences. I didn't have a son. So for Amber to come to me and seek guidance and counsel regarding her son, I can give you what the Holy Spirit's going to give me, but maybe Sister Beth is a better person to ask. She had a son. You see what I'm saying? So it's nice that we can all come together and mesh all of our backgrounds and all of our experiences together. And we will find a lot of similarities, especially when it comes to the Lord's work. Because, let's face it, there's nothing new under the sun. The devil tempts us and tries us in the same way. He has no new tricks. How we overcome it might be different. It may have worked differently for one person, you know, doing it, you know, plan A, and plan B may have worked better for another person. But regardless, the Lord is in control of all these things, and he uses them to discipline us, to bring us to that maturity level so that we could walk with him. We all know that we're called to walk with the Lord daily. We know when we do right and we know when we do wrong. All of us do. Even Hannah at her age would know that. She may not choose to do right. She may choose to do the wrong because she's still young. She's only a child. But even at, regardless of our age, we all have that within us. And we all know that we're called to walk a closer walk with God. That's why we come. That's why we're here meeting twice a week, in hopes that we can gain more knowledge, we can gain more insight, that the Lord would open our eyes so that we may see the things that we do clearly, the things that we do wrong, so that we could be receptive to the Holy Spirit and that correction. A lot of people that say they don't need to come to church to be close with God, well, that's true. You can be close with God anywhere. But the word does say, do not forsake assembling together. There's a benefit to assembling together. One of the biggest ones that I can think of is the Holy Spirit feels more powerful when you are in the Lord's house, when you are all together. We're all bringing the Holy Spirit. It's bigger than just one. It can still be great. Ask Charlene. She felt the Holy Spirit when I was preaching to my sister-in-law in the car. She wanted to jump out. We're sitting in a parking lot. There was four of us in the car. It was very powerful. You can feel it anywhere. I've felt it over the phone to many people giving counsel. Last year when I went to Texas, I had a friend call me that was in Michigan. She needed prayer, and I prayed with her on the phone at the time, and I felt nothing but the Holy Spirit. It was me and the other guy was driving, and he told me where we were driving. He said, that was the power of the hand of God on you right there, because you should not have had cell signal for as long as you did. God does this work. He allows us to help each other, to lead and guide each other. And that only comes through joining together, seeking that relationship, seeking that guidance, seeking that correction. We have to welcome that discipline that the Lord brings into our lives. And we have to be able to come to the Lord and say, okay, God, I made a mistake. I messed up again. Please forgive me and show me. Help me to be strong so that I don't do it again. And you have to do it with an honest heart, because God knows your heart. And he knows whether or not you're sincere or if you're just giving him FaceTime. All those things will be revealed if you are not being sincere. If you're just doing it to please somebody else, if you all are just doing it to please me, or if you're doing it to please your parents, if you're, you know, all of that will come out. You have to be founded and firmly rooted in the Word. God's going to do that mighty work in your life and lead you closer and closer to him. It's a difficult walk. You guys know that I don't sugarcoat it when it comes to that. But we all know the reward. And many of us have seen God's hand in our lives and know that the power of God is real, that it does exist, that the Holy Spirit can touch you and your life can be changed. It's all done through a process. And that's how God disciplines us and leads us to be closer to him, maturing as children. I was grateful when this message came up tonight, because it helped me kind of tie everything together that we've been saying. Hopefully, we can start to see things progress and be touched a little differently, led a little closer to the Lord through a different process. We're getting ready to begin a new year. I'm looking forward to what God has in store for this ministry. The way the messages are going to go. I can tell you that lately, I don't know if you guys have felt the messages are touching you more, better written, better spoken, what, but they have been different for me. Subject comes on my heart and I'm pretty much writing the whole thing. I wasn't with the others. You know, I was being prompted with a lot of stuff. Help, but, you know, still the commentary and all that, because I write my notes, but all the extra speaking is done by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's interesting to see how God's going to work, but he has already done a mighty work in us. Think of where you were a year ago and think of where you are now, what he's brought you through. He's continuing to work in us, continuing to discipline us, and continuing to lead us to that maturity level. Hopefully, when we reach the level the Lord wants us to be at, or is, the closer we get, the less mistakes we make. Or once we make them, God doesn't have to show us that we made the mistake. We know it as soon as we did it. All these things are being done. God is leading us to maturity. He's drawing us closer to him. And we just have to continue to remember what we're called to do. Seek the guidance and the counsel. Have respect for the position. Have respect for the church. Do the work that God wants you to do in speaking to others. You know, I pray that this ministry receives a growth this year. You know, the bank account's growing, which you'll find when we talk about the board in the board meeting. And it's going by the Lord's hands. All these things are being done by God's hands. And we just have to continue to seek him and do what's necessary and be receptive. And that includes me too. If I'm not receptive to the Lord's correction, guidance, and discipline, then I can't bring the word to you folks that enter in, or to those that listen from home. So we just have to continue to pray and continue to walk and to continue to seek God's guidance and direction in our lives and continue to grow and mature, become wiser, and make better decisions. Amen? That's the message for tonight. Does anybody have anything to add? All righty. Well, if all hearts and minds are clear, we bid you good night and God bless.